grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear children of God who live under the new covenant, we've all seen them. You're watching TV, goes to a commercial break, and then lo and behold, on comes an infomercial. And you know how infomercials work, don't you? Usually at the beginning of this type of commercial, they show someone struggling to complete a task, or the product that they are using just isn't doing the job anymore. And then boom, the commercial shows a product that is new and improved. A product that will make that task a lot easier to do. A product that is better than the one that you are using right now. And when you see these infomercials, what do you think about them? You know, sometimes we might look at that product that is new and improved, and we might think that's quite an ingenious idea. It's very practical. And yet, there might be some infomercials that you watch, and you might be wondering, is that really that much better than what I'm using right now? Is that even worth my money? Or are the people just selling me this product just to get a few bucks out of me? That's how we can view infomercials. But this morning we heard of something new and something that is better. It's the new covenant. And unlike those infomercials we see on TV where we're wondering if the product they are selling us is faulty, or we're wondering if they're just trying to get money out of us, we know that this new covenant is for our good. It is very beneficial for us. And we know this is true because we know that the new covenant comes from God, and we also see how God works through the new covenant. But before we focus on how God works through the new covenant, it's good for us to see the context behind this beautiful portion of God's word. The prophet Jeremiah was blessed to first share this message with his people. And to make it simple time-wise, Jeremiah lived around 600 BC. He had a ministry that lasted over 40 years. But by worldly standards, you would not say that Jeremiah's ministry was that successful. The more and more Jeremiah shared his message with his people, the more and more the people hated Jeremiah and his message. They plotted to kill his life, and eventually they threw him in prison. But what was his message that they hated so much? Well, basically, Jeremiah's message was one of repentance. And he warned the people that if they refused to repent, God would destroy the temple and he would destroy Jerusalem. But the people didn't listen to Jeremiah and his message. They thought there is no way that God would destroy his holy city and his holy temple. But Jeremiah's message came true. In 586 BC, the Babylonians destroyed the holy temple. They devastated the city of Jerusalem. And the people went into exile in Babylon. That was the message that Jeremiah shared with his people, but it's not the only part of his message that he shared. He also shared the gospel with them, how the Lord would bring them back from exile 70 years later, how the Lord would restore his people. But why would the Lord restore a people that have been unfaithful to him? Well, it's because what the Lord said, the time is coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers. God promised that he would establish a new covenant with his people. But first we have to ask the question, what's a covenant? Well, a covenant is an agreement. It's an oath. It's a promise established between two people. And God established the old covenant with his people on Mount Sinai. And the people agreed to follow that covenant. And the Lord promised that if they were faithful to his commands, he would bless them. He would provide for them. He would give them bountiful harvest. He would grant peace throughout their land. But were the Israelites faithful to God's covenant? Absolutely not. They were utterly unfaithful to him. That's why God said, "They broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them." Picture, if you will, the perfect spouse. A spouse that is completely faithful to their marriage vows. A spouse that loves their partner in good times and in bad times, in sickness and in health. Everything that they do is to help the one that they love. But now imagine that that perfect spouse was married to someone that was completely the opposite. A spouse that was not faithful to their partner. A spouse that was not there in good times and in bad times. A spouse that was not there in sickness and health. A spouse that only did things for themselves instead of helping their partner. That is the type of relationship that existed between God and the Israelites. They broke his covenant. Even on Mount Sinai, when God first established the covenant with his people, they cheated on God by worshiping the golden calf. And when they entered into Canaan, the promised land that God would give to them, they chased after gods to worship them. They even created their own gods to satisfy their desires. They were not faithful to God's covenant. But why were they so unfaithful? I mean, if there were any people that would follow the old covenant, you would expect it to be the Israelites. But they were unfaithful to God because of their hearts and because of their minds. Their hearts and their minds were sinful. By nature, they could not keep God's covenant. They could not remain faithful to him. But here we see how God works through the new covenant. God says, "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts." Since the Israelites were sinful in their hearts and their minds, God promised in the new covenant he would replace that sinful motive and he would write his law on their hearts and on their minds. But how is this accomplished? It is accomplished through the message of the gospel and through faith in Jesus Christ. God has written his law on your hearts and on your minds. For when he brought you to faith, he created the new man in you. And this new man that lives in you is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The new man loves God's law. It delights in obeying God's law. And not only through this new covenant has God established the new man in you, but he's also given you the power and the motivation for obeying his will. For when you obey God's will, you don't do it under compulsion or out of fear for God. But instead, you obey God's word. You obey his commandments through a heart of faith that responds to God's grace. That's one thing that God does through the new covenant. But it's not the only thing that God does. He says, "I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." Through the new covenant, God has established a personal relationship with you. It doesn't matter who you are, if you are from the greatest or from the least among the people. You have that personal relationship with God. You know who your God is. You know about His salvation. And that personal relationship with God started at your baptism, where He created faith in your heart and He clothed you with Christ's righteousness. And from that day up until this day right now, you've always lived underneath that new covenant, constantly living underneath God's grace and His forgiveness. And now think about that very personal relationship you have with God during communion. There you receive Christ's true body and blood, which even Jesus Himself said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." The Lord is your God, and you are His people. You live underneath the new covenant of grace. But is that something that you take for granted? Have you been faithful to God, who is always faithful to you? He has written His law on your heart and your mind. But when you obey God's commands, is it done out of a heart of faith that is thankful for what God has done for you? Or do you obey God's commands simply just for outward show? And to think that God's going to be happy with you simply because you obey Him. If you've been unfaithful to God by cheapening His grace as if it was just a get-out-of-hell-free card, which means you can deliberately sin all you want and it doesn't even bother you because in your mind you're thinking, all I have to do is say, "I'm sorry, God," and He will forgive me. That would be like a spouse that continually cheats time and time again and thinks it's going to be okay as long as I say, "I love you." We have not been faithful to our God. We do not deserve to live underneath the new covenant of grace. And just like the Israelites who went into exile because they disobeyed God's covenant, because of our unfaithfulness, we deserve eternal exile in hell, away from God's grace. But here's the great thing about the new covenant. Unlike the old covenant, which was really a two-way street where God promised to bless those who were faithful to Him, the new covenant is a one-way street where God promise to remain faithful to us even when we have been unfaithful to Him. For notice the last thing that God does through the new covenant. "I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." But how can that be? How can a just God who hates sin simply just look away from what I have done? How can a God who knows all things not remember the sins that I have done? Well, God didn't just simply look away at our sins. He just didn't choose not to remember them. Instead, He remembered each and every sin that you have done. And He remembered them all when He punished Christ on that cross. And certainly this was not something that Christ deserved, for He fulfilled the old covenant. He was in a complete agreement with God. He was faithful to God in everything. But did Jesus shy away from this punishment? No. Just like the hymn we just sang, a lamb goes uncomplaining forth. And remember what we heard Jesus say in the gospel this morning. "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. My heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour?" No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. And because Christ shed His blood for you, God has forgiven all of your sins. He remembers them no more. What a beautiful thing this new covenant is, that God has established with you and me. He has written His law on our hearts, which the new man in us delights to obey. Through the new covenant, God says, I am yours and you are mine. And this was all accomplished through Christ. Therefore, you are forgiven and God remembers your sins no more. Therefore, dear children of the new covenant, receive this blessing from God's word. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may He equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship registers, which you will find at the end of your pew.